definitely looks like the Marine Service Center is being singled out. So I appreciate your comment that, mm-hmm. you know, it's working in other areas where it may be higher, but I am opposed to the Marine Service Center being separated.
Okay. Any other comments? If anyone wants to make an amendment, Section L deals with the Marine Service Center. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I have a comment, not a proposed amendment or anything, but I am concerned about anything that affects the viability and the competitive advantage of Wrangell. And I don't know, maybe the 50,000 is arbitrary. Maybe it's really well thought out. It was kind of like our earlier talk about 25% for the
premium.
So it's kind of a number picked out of the air. But that's my concern. I think we need to increase revenues and increase this tax. But I sure don't want to, because I view the Marine Center as really an economic driver in this town. I mm-hmm. wouldn't want to harm it. Or cause more harm than it's going to gain.
It's one of our successes.
Yeah, that isn't going to really help in defining this, but that's my concern.
Okay. Anything else, Assembly?
I think proposed an amendment.
Okay.
To keep the cruise ship and the $5,000 cap increase, but remove the Section M, number one, the 50,000 Marine Service Center tax cap for a single dropper task.
Okay. We have an amendment. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. Amendment by Mock, second by Powell to remove item M1, the $50,000 cap on the Marine Service Center. In terms of sales tax discussion, is this the right move, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Again, just a kind of question, comment to myself is: I think we need to keep a finger on the pulse of the competitiveness of the mm-hmm. Marine Service Center, but I also think we need to focus on increasing our revenue. So it's both together. I don't know what that number is. Seems like five is low, but I think maybe if there was some way that we would keep addressing this, keep an eye on it, and maybe refine it a little later. Maybe it's getting too complicated to do that now. But
well, when we do our rates and fees schedules with the Port Commission, let's take a good look at this, because we are going to have to do some replacement. And we need to have a pot of money to accomplish that.
No, Mayor.
Assemblymember Mock.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to add on to what Assemblymember Dalrymple added on to is that I don't know when the last time we addressed the cap of $3,000, if that was put in 1990. $3,000 is definitely much different now. So
I believe it was $1,200 and it went to $3,000.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, if my memory's correct.
I was way off.
2012, 2013, maybe. There used to be a proposed budget.
A couple
version.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Assemblymember Powell.
So a couple of things. One, we are going to raise this cap for everybody to 5,000.
Correct.
Okay, so
the way it's written.
I'm wondering what's that going to bring for us? I mean, how much money is that? I mean, it's going to bring an increase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just increased it by so many hundreds of dollars. So that's going to increase out there on every job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when you're talking about caps, okay, and this is just for everybody, the reason why we've never gone above a cap is because we've got to be competitive, just like everybody's saying. And I noticed, I have a chart at my shop that I have to collect taxes for every town I send to. Petersburg is $1,200. It's $72. That's it. For anything. Doesn't matter. So, and to me, they are our competitors because they're right next door. That's just the way it works. Okay? When we could send stuff out on a common carrier and not have to collect taxes. They used to get extremely mad at me because I would ship stuff over them and not collect any taxes for them at all. And we did not have to collect taxes here because it was a common carrier. With this new federal law of taxes have to be collected for everything, it's kind of a moot point even to have a tax cap. But unfortunately, everybody in Southeast Alaska still does. So you have to be careful when you start talking about tax caps and raising this. The $50,000 thing, I'm sorry, I don't know how that came out with what number, where it came from, but I was, it was extreme to me, I thought, too. But I don't see no numbers with this as a problem. I just don't see any numbers. I don't see, I mean, I got some percentages, but I don't see any numbers of why we should do it. So I'm just saying that my point is when we look at tax caps, you got to be careful. You still got to be competitive in Southeast Alaska. I mean, because if you get too high, it's going to drive people away from here too. You know, I mean, I can drive over to Petersburg and buy something. Now they're supposed to get our taxes for that, but everybody doesn't comply to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way it works. So you got to be careful when you start talking about raising tax cap. If the federal law wants to come out and say no more tax cap, then we're all on the same playing field, great. But until that time, we still got to be competitive.
Yeah, thanks, Assemblymember Powell. I don't want to give the notion that this has been my thing. This is something I discussed with this body and brought forward. I'm not going to get grandstanded. You know, this isn't something that I necessarily support. It's just an option to bring forward before the council. And you can't directly quantify what the impact is going to be because I don't know. When you get a sales tax return, it shows in what's in excess of $3,000, right? Well, I don't know what's in excess of 10 or 20 or 25, so I can't specifically tell you what those tax earnings will be. What I can tell you is if you look at our economic conditions reports from the past, we range anywhere from $10 to $15 million in sales at the Marine Service Center. That's a lot of money. 64% of those sales out of the seven businesses I looked at, I didn't look at all 10, are out-of-town residents. So take $11.4 million and 64% was in excess of the $3,000 cap, not outside of town. 64% was in excess of the $3,000 cap. That's $7.1 million of earnings we get zero towards our tax revenue on. And I think, you know, and again, I think this is a great, the $5,000 cap and the cruise ships accomplishes a good step forward. But I also want to, you know, give the notion that we can't not replace the travel lift, and our bonding capacity is very limited. You know, we might spend all our bonding capacity on the harbor replacement project, maybe filling out the waterfront to expand the service center, and that's it for the next 20 years in capacity. So not replacing those assets is not an option. And I think the public, I would like them to understand the amount of money that this group of people have brought in just in the last year, $37 million that's not going to have to be paid for through rates, fees, taxes. Maybe 2025 this year. That's never appreciated because people don't think about it until they actually get the bill. But we are taking strides towards reducing the future burden of rate and taxes in the future. So, you know, I don't want to be grandstanded here tonight. This isn't my idea, but there's a huge margin of business. You know, somebody does a $1 million job in the Marine Service Center, I'm sure they could pay the $3,500 in taxes. Now, if it's a $50,000 job, maybe that's not the threshold, but that was the number that we agreed to throw out here in conversations with you guys. So this isn't my ordinance. This is something that...
Yeah. Yep, it was mentioned in our budget meetings. And we're going to try to maintain our current property mill rate. We're trying to set the mill rate and then adjust the budget to spend within our means, just like you do on your home budget. Yeah, Assemblymember Powell.
So, no, in no means did I want to think as we were grandstanding you here, because you're exactly right. We asked you to bring something forward here, and you are exactly, now by giving me those numbers, that's a different discussion now. So, I mean, I understand what Mr. Miller was saying, that you got to also understand that is the biggest amount of money that comes into this town from out of town. And if all those numbers are correct, that's over $7 million that we don't collect nothing on. So I don't know if $50,000 or $10,000 or $25,000 is the number where you want to be, or we're, I shouldn't say you, when I say you, yeah. I mean us.
Yeah.
But I also agree with, I mean, this tax cap thing is hard. You know, you got to look at, you know, I look at the tourist industry now, you know, like I've talked to a bunch of the tour people and they're getting over this, you know, $10,000-$12,000, and you start going up there to $20,000 things and stuff like that. And if we start taxing them, are we going to drive people away? That's where, I mean, so don't at any time, don't think that I was trying to grandstand you on this at all, because that's not the point here. I mean, we asked you to bring something forward here. And as if you recall, last year when you brought the 5,000, I said absolutely no and talked to somebody and just show up to it, you know, because of competition. So, I mean, I don't know how to collect on that $7 million you're talking about. I have no idea. I kind of agree and disagree at the same time with Mr. Mock, but I also think that, I mean, where do we go from there? I don't know. I think
it's been a good conversation, and I think that we should just study it, collect some more data on it, and what would it look like, you know? And then, and by no means are we trying to, you know, we're big proponents of the commercial fishing industry. I went down to the Board of Fish to testify for them. Like, we want their business, we want them to be stalled and wrangled, we want more fishing families, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, all the while as we debate economic development things, for example, the ACL thing on Thursday, if that were to get shot down by the community, where's the tax revenue coming from? Where's the growth? We're trying to grow organically and not raise taxes in the future or target inside in-town residents. I mean, we have to grow as organically as we possibly can, get more families here, more businesses here. But if the community rejects these opportunities that are coming to the table, they're kind of making their own bet. And I want that stated for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The more robust our economy is, the less our individual taxes have to be, and, you know, we start to prosper. But it's trying to get from here to there. Assembly Member DeBoard?
Just to kind of follow up on that with Mason, that, you know, we're kind of taking a shot in the dark, but now that we know that it's 12,000 and Sitka is the competitor for this, I feel much more comfortable with that, and I have confirmed on Sitka's website that it is, in fact, $12,000 on the exemption. Yeah. So.
And we have talked about the 5,000. I think you mentioned that before. It's just whether or not we go for it this time.
But isn't it $12,000 with 3%?
Yeah. We have to talk here.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay. It's fine. Yeah. Is it 3 for 5?
Five percent.
And we have all the caps of all the different communities,
yep.
And we're kind of in the middle anymore. There's a lot of communities that have a $10,000, $12,000, $5,000. Petersburg tried a ballot, or it's in their charter, so they actually have to take it to the vote of the people. And that was a 515 to 518 or something like that election. It was very close. And they'll be watching this, you know.
Yeah. And that was just recent, wasn't it? Just mm-hmm. last year.
And they'll bring it back to the voters again.
Yeah. They're in the same shoes we're in.
Yeah.
Okay, Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk of, you know, okay, it's going to be the Marine Service Center. It is, I think, essentially, it's being targeted. I think Donnie and Dave brought up that that's being targeted. But there are also other industries that are making larger purchases. You know, there's excursions, like you said, that are $10,000, $15,000, whatever they may be. So I think if we're going to raise a cap, I think it should be across the board. You know,
okay.
That's just my thought. I think that one industry versus another should not be targeted. I think it would look very bad at what the assembly would be proposing.
Okay.
The only argument I would say, and I'm not, you know, but just throwing this out there, is some of those industries didn't get a $40 million facility constructed on their behalf, and fairly competitive lease payment. I wouldn't say subsidized in any way, but it's a fairly competitive. And so I think, you know, we didn't hand somebody a big check to get their startup, you know, and so I think that should be considered. And if we aren't, and I like Don's point of maybe we look at the rates for haulouts and stuff, and we are the lowest in haulouts and we want to continue to be, but we're going to have to recap this infrastructure. And it's not exactly like the last administrations and councils of the past set us up really well to do that. So again, we want to grow organically. We want to fill out this waterfront, expand the service center if we can. You know, a little bit more port infrastructure, those kind of opportunities. But again, if those things don't happen, the community doesn't get behind it, they can't complain about the increase in rates and taxes, because we got to do something. And we don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. We haven't raised property taxes since I've been on the board with
this
you guys.
This will be the third year.
Yeah.
We reduced assessments them by up, 3 mills.
Check our assessments compared to Petersburg, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Sitka.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot lower.
Well, and we don't have control over that.
Yeah.
So, all right, Assembly. We have Assembly Member Powell.
I agree with Mason on a whole bunch of stuff here, okay? I did 3 jobs in the last year in the Marine Service Center. Okay, I talked to 2 of those people about this. One of them was, they thought it was, $3,500 was extreme. They said, well, I'd have no choice. I would have paid it to have the job done. Okay. One of them said, you know, he just didn't care. But the other one I couldn't get a hold of. I would have had to pay that. I mean, I wouldn't have to pay that. My customer would have to pay that. So I understand it. But I also agree with Mason. I mean, I operate outside and of the Marine Service Center, and I'm going to say Mr. Miller does too. So he pays something different than Donnie pays for his place. He didn't get everything in there, was not given to that section of land, okay, which came from a lot of grants and a lot of work and everything like that. So I don't, like I said again, I don't know how to capture it. I don't know if it's the $10,000 or $12,000 or whatever it is for the Marine Service Center. But we, as, I mean, Dave would almost have to agree with me on, we have different costs outside of there. If we work inside of there, that is also a different cost for us. I also go down to the harbors and work. That's a different cost. I mean, everything's a different cost. When I do a job in the harbor, it costs the customer more money because I have to go to the harbor, okay? I work at the Marine Service Center. If we up that tax, that's the cost of the consumer because I have to go there. But the town paid for that. Taxpaying dollars are still paying for that. And if it has to be by rates, and here's the question I have. So we raise our rates for the haul out. Say we go, I don't know, $500 more. Is that too much? Is $250 too much? Is that going to push people to Sitka? Is that going to push people to Ketchikan? Who's going to come in here and start complaining about that we raise that rate? I mean, because that's not going to really affect me at all. I mean, it'll affect you almost all. Dave, it'll affect a little bit, but he could say, go to the harbor. We'll do it in the harbor. So I don't know where to go with this, but I'm just saying that somehow I agree with Mason. We have to look at this, and I don't agree that we are attacking one industry. I'm in that industry. If I have to pull a boat out there and do a catamaran because I can't get it to my boat, they're going to have to pay that, and I'm going to have to explain that to them. So, I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from, but I also understand that we have to pay for this facility somehow. So just by saying no to it completely is not what we asked for. This assembly asked for him to bring something forward, and maybe $50,000 is too much. Maybe it should be $10,000 Marine Service Center. Because if Sitka's a $12,000 cap, you can't, and I agree with Mason 100% on, you can't say the tourist industry, $25,000 is the cap or $12,000 is the cap. They didn't get given this facility, okay? I know that, I mean, and also there's a lot of people who want to come here. I mean, we heard that from the harbor master just the last meeting we had, where there's no ground here. So, I mean, it is a viable business, I mean, 100%, but we have to do something to, you know, get this money back. I mean, we have to do something. You can't just say zero to it, and I disagree with raising our tax gap. We don't have Sitka's economy, I'm sorry, we don't. We just don't have it. And I agree with Mason, I mean, if people start shooting down these tourists, anything to with tourists and all that stuff, our rates are going up. Our tax rates are going to go up, because we have to pay for the infrastructure we have, and with a dwindle economy, if we don't get an economy in here somehow, guess what? That Marine Service Center ain't going to be just the only thing that's going to keep this town alive. I'll guarantee you that. So somewhere along the line, we got to subsidize our tax base. And if this is one way to do it, then we have to do it. And I will tell you right now that I was going to vote no on this $50,000 right off the bat, but I'm going to say that we have to do something. And the Marine Service Center is an area that brings in, like Mason said, $7 million that wasn't taxed last year. That's a lot of untaxed money, out of town money. But I don't want to push them away. I mean, because if you push them away, that's zero.
All right, so let me bring us back. We have an amendment on the table, and it's to eliminate the $50,000 at the Marine Service Center sales tax cap. Assembly Member Otteson, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with Dave. I agree with Mason. I just think a $40 million facility out there collecting $350 off a $200,000 job is insane. That's just insane. They talk about tourism. Obviously, I'm in tourism. I'd be willing to bet tourism doesn't bring in $7 million to this community a year. That is not getting taxed at the rate it should. I just don't think $3,500, when somebody's spending $150,000 or more, $100,000, even $70,000, is really going to turn them away. Because I've seen people go, I watched my dad build a boat, a custom $200,000 plus boat. He wanted to put a side door in it. One of the options, that was a $5,200 side door. He goes, well, I'm spending $150,000, $200,000. What's $5,000 more? And I think that's going to be a lot of the mentality. If you can afford to do a job like that, what's $3,500? And I'm not saying it's going to be $3,500 because I don't know if $50,000 is the number. It could be a little lower.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Assembly, who's next? Assembly Member Mock, did you have something to say? Do you have anything?
I do. I think that, you know, yes, we have the Marine Service Center. I'm guessing it's a bond. It's being paid for by a bond right now, Mason?
No, completely grant funded. And, okay. You know, it's a combination of grant funds. But back in the day, it was, you know, about $40 million. To replace it now, you're looking probably 65, yeah. 70 million.
Well, who's to say that we are eventually going to have to replace the cruise ship dock here, the city dock? So you could look at both things, right? And I will say that, you know, the fleet that the Marine Service Center is bringing in are local fishermen, tenders. You know, we get a few catamarans and yachts and things like that. But I just want to put back out there, $3,500. I've got a few fishermen here staying at the bunkhouse that are doing work, and $3,500. You know, whether they're doing a $50,000 job or a $100,000 job. They're only doing that job right now because they absolutely have to stay fishing. Mm-hmm. They're not at a point in this industry right now where $3,500 is something they can just throw into the bucket. So, I mean, I'd like to ask, can we approve a $5,000 cap and go back to this later after a discussion, or does...
I think that's a great idea. And to your point, we did look into exempting all commercial fishermen from any change to the cap, but that's not legally permissible because then you're doing it on a class. And we looked at non-resident. Resident, it gets very tricky from a legal perspective. So, you know, that was discussed. I would propose, you know, an hour work session before the June 10th meeting on this. And we don't have to have any action on that meeting necessarily. But I think let's at least set the stage.
Can we pause that so I can get Zoom back on? It disconnected me and Brittany's probably,
okay.
So she's on there. I apologize.
She probably fell asleep or getting the
comments anyhow.
Yeah, let's get this motion up. Let's decide what we're going to do, and then I'll take a break. Is that okay?
Sorry, I'll just take a second. Welcome.
And while we're waiting, Assembly, did you hear the recommendation of the borough manager to have a workshop on this?
You are in the meeting now. There are two participants in the meeting. This meeting's host has enabled Zoom's AI companion technology. This meeting is being recorded. You are muted. You are unmuted.
Sorry, we got disconnected. We're back on.
Okay, Madam Mayor, do you mind if I continue just real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, and just kind of recapping, like, nobody's saying, you know, that people haven't invested hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars of their own money into that Marine Service Center. You know, nobody's saying that. All I'm saying is that we've invested state and federal funding along with our own into capitalizing an asset such as that, and it's going to take a lot of money to replace it. Same with City Dock. But where's that going to come from? The federal faucet's getting cut off, and rightfully so. I'm a fiscal conservative all the way through and through. But when that federal faucet gets cut off, and that's the state's already, you know, Larry Persley's in the room. State capital budget doesn't look so good this year. There's nothing in it for us. Where is it coming from? So I think we need to think really critically about setting up the future of this community and having some good discussions. I would just propose a work session for now on June 10th to at least set the stage on what we want to track so we can look at this again. And maybe it's the rates, you know, for haulouts. Maybe it's, you know, looking at other different exemption tiers. Maybe we want to start sales tax at $500,000 jobs and more. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to slice it.
Yeah, we talked about a tiered structure, that kind of thing. Assembly, what do you think? Real quick.
So,
a work session?
Clarification. So if we vote this motion right down, if we vote yes on this and we remove the $50,000, is that going to, when we have the work session, we'll come back to another meeting to discuss this again? Is that correct?
So what would happen if the assembly approves the motion to remove the $50,000 sales tax cap and just have $5,000 across the board? And then there's a work, that would be approved.
Yep.
And so then if we had a work session on June 10th, and then it's stated, you know, hey, let's do whatever amount for a sales tax cap for the Marine Service Center, it would just be a new ordinance.
Okay.
It wouldn't be difficult at all.
Okay.
Okay. Or we could drop the amendment with the approval of the assembly and start out with the same slate we started out with tonight, which is what I would prefer. Is that acceptable with the assembly?
So if you're
I'm going to remove his amendment. Is that acceptable to you?
No.
No.
You don't want to start with
just vote it.
Vote it down? Okay.
So what you can do is if you want to remove the $50,000 cap for now, and then you can look at doing something with it in the future after the work session, or you can vote the amendment down, and then you can just postpone the whole item. But my recommendation would be to go ahead and vote on the amendment, either up or down, and then approve the ordinance as it is with the amendment, either approved or not approved, and then have the work session, and then bring another ordinance back.
For the Marine Service Center.
To address that.
Just the Marine Service Center.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think we need to specifically debate sales tax on the Marine Service Center. It could be the rates at the haul out. It could be, you know, bring the Port Commission in a joint work session and not, you know.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll call for a vote on the amendment.
Okay, this is to remove the $50,000 cap on the Marine Service Center only. Assembly members, Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Gilbert, Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay, and main motion as amended?
Assembly members, Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay, so everybody understands that. Let's take a break. It's 8:41. All right.
There he is.
It's 8:47. We've resumed our recess, and we are on 11B, Assembly 5454. Ordinance number 1078 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending several sections of Chapter 16.10 Real Property Leases to repeal and replace sections in Chapter 16.10 in its entirety in the Wrangell Municipal Code, page 454.
Move to approve ordinance number 1078.
Second.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, is this a public hearing?
We're in a public hearing.
This is a public hearing.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
that's right.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Thank you. Borough Manager's report, please.
We're on 1078.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we moved a lot around tonight. Okay, so this is very similar to Ordinance 1077. It's just real property, same thing, 40-year lease terms, 3 possible 5-year extensions. I did mention earlier under 1077, which was tideland leases and the procedures for doing so, that we also added a provision for lease cancellation if property is environmentally damaged in some case, there's a remedy for that in this, and we have experienced that. So everything we've put in these ordinances for tidelands and real property are real cases that we've encountered, so we want to accommodate for that. Outside of that, it's the same process as you approved in 1077.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public testimony on ordinance 1078? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing, and I need a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1078.
Second.
Okay, motion by Pell, second by Otteson. Discussion. This is the second reading. Anything? Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Assembly members Pell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. Item 11C, ordinance number 1079 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending chapter 16.12, disposition of public lands and tidelands, to repeal and replace several sections of chapter 16.12 in its entirety in the Wrangell Municipal Code. Manager's report, please.
Thank you. So 1079 is a bit different. This is the actual process for borough-initiated sales, sales for, by economic development, and sales initiated by the borough. Again, it's in conformance with the previously two adopted ordinances, 1077 and 1078. It will go to the respective commissions, whether that's Planning and Zoning, Port Commission, and Economic Development. Could be all three in certain cases if it's for economic development purposes for a tideland parcel. The clerk will notice 300-foot property owners, or sorry, before the commission meeting, the economic development director will notice 300-foot property owners. They'll have their meeting, they'll provide the recommendations to the assembly. That meeting will be noticed in advance to the community, in 2 weeks in the paper. There'll be a protest period for that. They can communicate at that time. That'll be the approval to move forward at that meeting for the assembly, at which point, if approved, we'll go on to survey, appraisal, and then final conveyance at a later date. And so that's the process. It's streamlined across all different types. The assembly does have the authority again to provide for a public auction if there's generated interest at the commission level early on. And other than that, I want to say the only change I made, which was not material in advance of this meeting, that was different from the first reading, is actually in section, I'm just flopping to it. Section 1612.080, you might not have noticed it, it's B of that section. The borough may accept in exchange for borough-owned real property titlings or interest therein any lawful consideration of sufficient value, including but not limited to real property titlings, monetary compensation, professional and contractual services, or a combination thereof. If the values of the of exchange are not equal, the difference may be made up in cash or other considerations. So before, we had a very similar provision, it just wasn't very clear.
Right.
And we just wanted to, any lawful in the state of Alaska, we want to be able to, much like the Tonsgaard deal, there may be circumstances where that's in our benefit to do so.
Right. And the only, I need to see if there's any public testimony on this. Okay, I need to close the public hearing and entertain a motion. Page 462.
Move to approve ordinance number 1079.
Second.
Okay, motion by Otteson, second by Powell. The only thing that the code committee worked on this, along with the borough clerk and Kate and so forth, so this was vetted by our attorney. The only thing, it says that assembly on page, is it page 469 at the top, that first paragraph, it says in the determination by the economic development director, the borough-owned real property or tidelands is deemed ineligible for disposition due to protection, covenants, or legal restriction. The application may be immediately denied. But there's really no appeal process, and the assembly would never know if that had been denied. It's kind of up to one office.
What was the section title?
It's right there. It's
1612-035.
And it's
criteria for evaluation.
Yeah.
Did you want me to speak to it maybe a little bit? Or?
Yeah. It seems like it's kind of up to just one individual or one office.
I think regardless, there's some guardrails in the criteria. I mean, certainly if somebody comes to the borough to buy a parcel at Aldertop when we already have a plan for it, they may not be aware of it. We're not going to entertain that proposal.
Right.
If there's something, if somebody wanted to buy the Tidelands out in front of City Park, well, we mitigated that, and it's in a mitigation bank at this point, so we're not...
So it should be clearly labeled, you know, where the
right.
public and wouldn't...
It's going to be very clear okay. circumstances. Now, I think it's the Assembly's obligation to hold the manager and therefore the Economic Development Director accountable on those circumstances, and maybe we can keep a running list of property sales that have been requested regardless by application so the Assembly okay. can always see what's going on. I mean, that might be something we just do. Because if you guys see something that was on the list and then got denied for some reason, you might inquire about it during the manager's report or some
right.
business or something. But.
Okay. I would like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that okay with the Assembly?
Yeah, I don't want nobody to say no.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, if I can ask, maybe City Manager Blomer can answer this, but in Section 1612-030, the policy outright disposal of, by sale of tidelands and submerged lands is not favored.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we're not okay with selling tidelands.
Good point, and this is something we talked about in my office. It's in our comp plan that tidelands are coveted real estate for waterfront development. They pose inherently economic development opportunities. They, in some cases, safeguard marine infrastructure, port infrastructure. And I think that's the lens the comp plan was looking through and when this code was developed. Certainly in the time that I've been here, we've sold multiple tideland parcels, Easterly, the Micanee tidelands. There's another request forthcoming to the council. So it's not something that we've denied since we've been here. It's just, I think this code is just asserting it's not something that we are seeking to do all the time. And we want to protect those because they are valuable inherently to the borough. But if you want to change it, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think we're always going to do what's in the best interest of the borough.
Well, it just says a policy. So someone can still come to us and request or put in an application for it.
Yeah,
or...
and never would be denied in that case. We've had three sales in the last 2 years.
Because I'm just thinking of a situation like, John that came and talked today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Churchills that have that little storage behind the laundromat. Yeah. Those are all leased tidelands, but they're all filled in,
right.
you know, and they're not going to be, they are economic development already. So if they wanted to come forward and purchase, you know, it doesn't provide considerations of ocean resource harvesting because the ocean's been filled in, right?
Sure.
So I just want to make sure that if that's still an option for them to come forward, then
yeah.
It's built in code, and we've gone through this. In fact, Assembly Member Dalrymple had the city compose a robust outline on the benefit of selling tidelands.
If I could, the policy's there, and it's just been there. I couldn't say why, but within that, there's an allowance. So it's cautionary to move forward, and then you have some more steps that has to go through. A lot more rigorous economic development reasons, which are not insurmountable at all. But it's not just wing that stuff out, get rid of it. Anyway, I don't know why it started in the beginning, but a lot of different towns treat it different. Some of them mm-hmm. want to have no tidelands, and others hold on to it preciously. And we're more in the if it makes sense, we'll move it along. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's just more process to it. But somebody couldn't. Use that process to get a hold of it.
And I actually recall a time when I was finance director that we brought forward actually getting rid of all of our tideland leases that were on filled out property. For example, the building across the street is a tideland lease that they built buildings on. We own the property, they own the building. That's a confusing scenario to be in. Same with, the laundromat and cases like that.
Right.
You know, and we might consider doing that again because it doesn't make sense for us to own those properties. And in fact, I think it creates a liability in some cases. So the Sampson lease out there in the yard, same thing. We own the land. They have the building on top of it. Not the whole yard, just that postage stamp. But I'll get further direction on that maybe next meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes.
Assembly members,
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Darrenfeld?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And
Arendelle? Yes. 11H, Assembly 514, page 514, ordinance number 1085 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding section 5.10.055. Duty to timely submit invoices following fiscal year end to chapter 5.10 purchases and sales in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll get a administrative report, please.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. We're cruising now. Rather simple one, 90 days after fiscal year end, which is our June 30th deadline, we would require the invoices to be submitted for any activity that took place in the previous fiscal year. So that would put it out at September 30, which is one quarter's time. That's important because as we go through the annual audit of our fiscal year financial statements, oftentimes, and it's actually a very pervasive issue, we talked about this, you got five, six contractors that like to bill us 18 months later, and that creates a financial nightmare. It sometimes results in audit findings or additional compensation to the auditors to re-audit, you know, numbers in the financials. And it's just poor practice. This is something that kind of stole out of the private sector. I didn't see this in other municipal codes, but I guarantee other finance directors will plug this in their code because I've shared it with them. And that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public testimony on this item? All right, seeing none.
Move to approve ordinance number 1085.
Second.
All right. Motion by Powell, second by Otteson. Any discussion? It's a good housekeeping item to have in our code. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Darrenfeld?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And
yes. Item J. Ordinance number 1086 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding section 5.10.045, contractor and professional services performance evaluation and disqualification to chapter 5.10, purchases and sales in the Wrangell Municipal Code. All right, I'll ask for an administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 1086 is something that we talked about at the first reading over at the Nolan Center last meeting. This is in regards to performance evaluations for contractor jobs. Any contract we have in the borough, there would be a performance evaluation with the criteria outlined in the ordinance, adherence to project schedule, compliance with the budget and contract, et cetera, which I think is just a good practice in general. We should probably have been doing that all along. But that would essentially serve as the basis for any disqualification of bids. So said differently, if we had a low bidder, say we're doing this is a cemetery, and that's mm-hmm. a project in the budget for the next year, and we have a contractor that gets the low bid that has had a series of poor performance. They didn't comply with the contracts. They went over budget. There was five change orders, and they've done that for us the last three times. This gives us an avenue to say, and this would be ingrained into the contract that you will be
right.
Evaluated based off your performance and adherence to the contract. This gives us an out in that case. It's not something I ever want to use, but in the circumstances that might be permissible, we would want to do that. And I think we've ran into situations like this in the past, and we haven't fared so well. So this is just another mechanism. And I think, you know, the positive side is just the performance evaluation side. We should do that. We should have a good record. It stands for 5 years. The contract will speak to it as well. But the other thing I like about this is it fragments the nature of the work. So the nature and extent of a project, you could be doing a street replacement project and that contractor's really good at concrete, but maybe they're really not good at utilities and you don't know who they're subbing and they have a poor performance on. They really biffed our utility project last time. Maybe they've done it two other times before that. Like, we're gonna we're going to disqualify that bid. That would be an assembly prerogative. But this is the only tool I could think of outside of suspension and debarment, which is something we could also consider in our procurement code. But that has implications that are more severe than something like this. If you just suspend or debar somebody, you have to go onto SAM.gov and report that, and then that's on their resume, so to speak, for everybody else to see. And that's not something we necessarily want to do either. And so this is kind of a tool, because oftentimes you guys come to the directors and say, well, change order number 5, like, what the heck, you know? And so this was a tool for us to kind of mitigate that. And it's something that we're trying to do on the front side of things, not a scare tactic almost. Not really, but, you know, just as you evaluate an employee's performance.
Okay. Any public comment on this? All right. I'm going to close the public hearing. Motion?
Move to approve ordinance number 1086.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Mock. Any discussion? And this is job specific, correct? If it's a multiple job contract.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Assembly member DeBoard.
I'd just like to state that the change orders over the years have driven me nuts, and I'm glad to see a tool to finally mitigate some of that. So.
Yeah. Change orders, yes. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes. Assembly, we pulled item 12A under new business. Item 13A is on page 553. Resolution number 05-25-1943 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, levying a general tax for school and municipal purposes upon all taxable property within the boundary for the tax year 2025, pursuant to Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.04.010, providing for the collection of taxes due in FY 2026 and prescribing penalties and interest for delinquent taxes.
Move to approve resolution number 05-25-1943.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Per the code, this is something we do every year, is establish the mill rate, mill levy, as it said in the agenda statement. Administration is proposing the same mill rate per differential tax zones, the inside service area and outside service area. 9.75 for inside, outside is at 4. And a little bit of context, back after the COVID area, assessments kind of skyrocketed. We've seen that we lowered the mill rate from 12.75 down 3 mills to 9.75. So this body, since I've been here, has done nothing but lower the mill rate.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen assessments increase over time, but still not to the degree of surrounding communities that are of equal size or more. And we have $255 million in taxable real property in the borough. Of that, $2.278 million is inside service area, 86,000 is outside the service area, for a combined total of $2.364 million in property taxes to be levied this year. That'll be reflected in the FY26 budget if approved. I like to, in the agenda statement, you'll kind of see a calculation that you'll see in the budget as well, or kind of a little bit more historical context. The whammer, I like to call it, is something I kind of coined as finance director. Kind of gives you an idea of the weighted average mill rate per the type of property or what the service area that you're in. It's 9.50. For context, Petersburg's over 10. They're statutorily, they're codified, they're capped at 10 plus bond proceeds. So they can't have a cap or a 8 mil rate in excess of 10 mils, but it has to be related to a bond issuance and debt service for that bond, a general obligation bond. Last time I looked at Ketchikan, it was 10.75 or 11 or something like that. So Sitka was a little bit lower, but you know we're I think in a good spot going into the FY26 budget. We've slashed over $1 million in the general fund in anticipation or preparation rather for not receiving secure rural schools dollars. So we're looking at a surplus before capital projects, and I think this is all helpful context because it's kind of out of order that you're voting on a mill levy before you even see a budget, but that's kind of the point, is the operating surplus in the general fund is about $580,000 in the current draft budget. After capital projects, it's about a $1.4 million deficit, or because we're drawing off a reserve to fund capital projects, which is permissible per the charter. All that being said, keep the mill rate the same. You can see the historical rates at 12.75 and 4 starting in way back before 2019 all the way to 2022 and then changing in 2023. So, and you can see the big taxable property value hike in that period of 2022 to 2023. So, you know, as long as I'm here, we don't want to increase the mill rate. And I know the Assembly's committed to that goal in the budget cycle too. And if we make play our cards right and get some economic development opportunities passed through the Assembly, we'll be in better shape to keep it there or lower it.
And actually, you misspoke. The WAMR is less than 9.50 because you used the 12.75. It should have been 9.75. Therefore, we're even better than you said. We're at 9.2664.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's yes. A good correction from the finance director to take a note on. So
yes.
I appreciate that.
Yes. So, and I
competition.
Yes.
I do like the idea of setting the mill rate to what we think the community can afford, and I use that in quotes, and then building our budget around that instead of building the budget and then taxing the population to whatever we build the budget to. So, yeah. And I'm really proud that we've kept it down for the third year now. And we don't have any control over assessments. It's based on that fair market value as determined by our assessor. Assembly Member Powell.
I got a question about the 4%, or the four mills.
Yeah.
Okay. It says service area, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the question. Sure. I just don't know. I mean, two things. How did that ever come up? I mean, what's that based off of?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. You know off the top of your head.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when it says service area, don't we, when you say service, okay, so I'm going to use Myers-Chuck, for instance, okay? So all the people outside of Myers-Chuck don't have a dock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have that. Is that considered a service area?
So, and this is actually a great question because the board had talked about this today as well.
Oh.
So we can establish different service areas or differential tax zones in the code. That had to be done, you know, months prior to this because as assessments go out, you're going to want to establish those. And I can't remember the code section specifically that says that, but we could look it up and tell you. So that's once those are set, you could say that there's a Myers-Chuck service area or differential tax zone and establish that because of the needs and the services rendered into a community or, you know, a sub-community of the borough is quite different down there. But outside of service areas, pretty much everything off island. It's going to be your Tom's Place, is your mm-hmm. up the Stikine, your Earl West. Like I said, Assembly Member DeBoard has a cabin there. Those types of places. And the thought, I think, the rationale behind that is those places they're going to get the fire, EMS, search and rescue services, but likely they're not taking their kids to school, right? They're not paying for the school meals. They can come to town and enjoy the library, so they are paying for that as well. But you're not paying for the schools, you're not paying for some of the other things that you would normally. So, and one of the things we'll do in the budget this year is quantify how many mills is going to the school, to the library, to the fire department, to the police department. And so you'll see that depicted there too. And I think, you know, as we prepare for next year, FY27 budget cycle, it would be really prudent to take a look at that. And I know that's something that we've always talked about. So maybe let's address that over the summer so we're prepared for the next year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like that, addressing the services that the community uses, that it cost us to provide to the community in terms of mills,
mm-hmm.
so that the public knows where their 9.75 mills goes to. And a mill, Assembly, is worth $242,510. So that's the equivalent to one mill. So... The 9.75, we have to really stretch those dollars to try to provide all the services. All right, any other questions, comments? 9.75.
Just to kind of follow up on that with Dave, is so I asked Robbie to get an understanding of how much we actually get from Myers Chuck. And it's $35,488 a year. And my premise has always been that Olive Cove, Tom's Place, up the river, none of them have a multi-million dollar dock. So, and even if we triple or quadruple it, it's never going to, they're never going to be able to afford to pay it. But at some point in time, especially with the fact that we're going to build it, our hardware department's going to have to take it down there, and there's a lot of legwork and time that we're going to spend doing that. I think it would, we owe it to ourselves to have them pay a little bit more of a fair share for what they're getting. So.
And we may put that on the calendar to talk about it for next fiscal year.
Yes, please.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Madam Mayor, just for reference and for the future, so Section 504.320 is differential tax zone adoption, and it's on or before March 20th of each year. The Assembly shall review and enact, if necessary, an ordinance establishing differential tax zones for the tax year. So that would be the time before that
time
to do that.
Time to do that.
And the only other thing I would say is I don't want to conflate, you know, revenue or enterprise fund activity with governmental activities too. Like we kind of talked, we kind of bled into that a little bit with the Marine Service Center. We don't want to charge sales tax dollars from the Marine Service Center necessarily to you know, pave our streets. You know, there's an enterprise fund. It should stand alone to some degree. It can have some influence in taxes and it should support it. But same with Myers Chuck. I wouldn't use the floats and harbors as an example. That's why we're going to charge them more property taxes. Really, it should be some mechanism through the harbor to do that. What that is, I don't know, because it's pretty difficult to charge somebody 60 miles away. But I just wanted to make that distinction.
And I believe last year's budget, we had budgeted $1,500 revenue for their harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much of that we collected.
Probably not even that.
Yeah, probably not even that.
No.
So that would be raising those fees quite a bit. All right. Any other questions, Assembly? I'm really proud that we kept it to this. This is a big commitment, which causes problems with sales tax and things of that sort. So, all right, Assembly, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, we handled 13B. We're on 13C, 574, resolution number 05-25-1945 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public land, specifically lots 4. 42,500 and $42,500 value, block 49, for the appraised value of $85,000 plus required fees to Mason Valarma.
Move to approve resolution number 05-25-1945.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison. Discussion.
What, do you want me to comment on it?
Yes, go ahead.
It's good practice.
No. So the Assembly, the first meeting in March, held the public hearing and approved moving forward with the sale to Mason Valarma for the two lots. I then posted the public notice for 4 total weeks in the newspaper for anybody who wanted to protest to do so. I received no protests. And so we held off a little bit on bringing this forward to you, but we're bringing it forward. We did the appraisal. He's paying for the appraisals, and the associated fees, and the 300-foot property owners, of course, were noticed before the public hearing that was held in March. So everything has been followed.
Okay. So the procedure was not altered.
No.
From our code.
No.
Okay. Any questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
It's probably a process question, but in the planning zoning actions, they had requested conditions. Any sale agreement should include a clear contingency outlining the borough's potential future requirements or lack of for road improvement utility. And that is in the sales agreement. This is not the sales agreement.
Correct. Yeah.
There will be a sales agreement,
resolution,
which will then
outline
what that is. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. Good question, though. Any other comments or questions? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Darrow?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13D, page 611. Approval of a lease agreement with Central Council of Clinkin and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska for two classrooms at Evergreen Elementary School for the purpose of early childhood educational programming.
Move to approve a lease agreement with Central Council of Clinkin and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska for two classrooms at Evergreen Elementary School for the purpose of early childhood educational programming.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer. This is a thing that we've been working on. It's one of the key keystones for economic development and a vibrant economy. Borough manager, what report do you have?
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. A very exciting item, something that we've been working with Clinkin and Haida, WCA on, but namely Clinkin and Haida. We did that MOU a few months back for childcare enrichment in the borough. It's a huge issue along with housing. This is 36 spots for Head Start and for childcare. Childcare is age birth through 3, and then there's no native preference, and then Head Start is going to be ages 3 through 5, an extension of their existing service, and we will be leasing two classrooms in the Evergreen Elementary School. There's a drawing of the as-builts for the elementary school so you can see which classrooms. This is the track change version over the weekend. There might be some immaterial language changes. You'll note that from the first version that was generated, it was a lease agreement. This is being construed as a license agreement just because we're not collecting rent revenue off of this. It's something that we feel that is an in-kind contribution to Clinkin and Haida, as just charging them would raise the barriers to the cost to child care services to those seeking it. And so they will pay for all utilities as described in this lease agreement. And I think this is a really big win for the community, so I'll just stop there, and I think that's a pretty easy one to pass.
Yeah, and they adhere to all state requirements for child care and all of that. And they have funding for 2 full years?
For child care.
First two years. Assembly Member Dalrymple?
Madam Mayor, I just have a comment. I want to commend Borough Manager for putting this together. Mm-hmm. This issue has been on the Economic Development Board priority list since I've been on it. And we've really been challenged with moving forward, and all of a sudden it's here. So glad to see it, very glad.
Yeah. Thank you. Assembly Member DeBoer.
I'm kind of second Bob there, and just say thank you to everybody who's worked on it, from Mason Clinkett High to everybody over the years. And I don't think, you know, working at the hospital, this has been one of the biggest hurdles to recruitment and retention of a skilled labor workforce, that, you know, nurses, therapists, physicians, RNs, BSNs, CNAs, even admin people, it's been difficult, and this is one of the two hurdles, this and housing. So I'm happy to say that we'll be able to have one of those hurdles achieved tonight. So
we all know the key elements for a robust economy and what that would benefit our community. And this assembly, I give it to you, we're dedicated to solving those problems and facing them head on.
And a lot to come on the housing front, too, in the next few months. So.
Yes. Yes. All right. Any other comments? Assembly Member Audison.
Just to say it, there's, you know, just like Jim DeBoer said, it's great. I think this is really going to give the ability to hold the young people here. Like, there was like 9 babies born in the last few months, and you need to keep those people here.
Exactly.
And I think this is going to really help.
That was the interesting thing that I learned, is when they came to us and said, Wrangell has a baby boom, other communities, no babies. So money's were filtered to Wrangell, and we gladly accepted them and accommodated whatever they needed to pull it off. So
when we could have a place to
Assemblymember Austin is experiencing some sleepless nights, so I'm sure he's excited to just get off.
Yeah. All right, Assembly. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Monk?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We handled item 13E, Assembly, so now you're on page 633. Item F, approval of Amendment 1 of the Timber Appraisal Services Contract with Austin O'Brien Forest Tree LLC.
Move to approve Amendment 1 with the Timber Appraisal Service Contract with O'Brien Forest Tree LLC.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Audison. Administrative report. This is a good amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So we did the timber appraisal agreement with Austin O'Brien the last meeting, which is a great agreement. It sets us up to pursue engagement letters like the 5.5 mile blow down site and some of these other timber sales that we're going to. We just want the right structure. We agreed, me and Austin, that it might be the best approach to strip out the per plot and the linear foot rates that were embedded in the overall agreement, just due to the nature of timber sales, and I think Assemblymember Dalrymple can appreciate it. Depending on the services that they're providing, it can look like a lot of different ways. And so I think having the 15% cap is already our safeguard, and we can negotiate each engagement letter that will be approved by you guys anyway. So that was more comfortable for him, and it makes sense to me. So that's why there's an amendment tonight.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Everyone understand the changes? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Monk?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item G, page 644, approval of a purchase and sale agreement between the Presbyterian Church and the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska.
Move to approve a purchase and sales agreement between the Presbyterian Church and the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Audison. Report, please.
Well, judging by the packing of bags, I'm sure this is an easy one for you guys. We've long pursued the Presbyterian Church. Well, we haven't really pursued it, but it's something we wanted to do, is get attain a portion of their property located where it abuts Reed Street, about a half acre, for the purposes of a parking lot for the Wrangell Public School District, potentially other uses. And I think there's some other ideas that we can beat around after this item is approved. The Presbyterian Church agreed to that. They have a group that's called the Session.
Correct.
Is their governing body. Mary's a Presbyterian, so she probably knows better than that. And the Catholic Church, the Conclave. it's a little different. And anyway, they've approved to move forward. This is a $30,000 cash transaction with $30,000 additional in utility in kind. I think it's a great deal for us. I think it's a good deal for them, as they've had some financial woes, and ultimately a great thing for the community. Because like I said earlier in the manager's report, going up there during a basketball game night or any school day is kind of ridiculous, and it's not safe. So this
any function. And in addition, they needed some trees down, and they wanted to make sure that we preserve the drainage that they currently have.
Yep. Thanks for pointing that out.
And I don't know exactly how many cars it would accommodate, but it's a good thing.
I think half an acre is probably more than we actually need for a parking lot. And I think there can be some good debate on what we do with the residual property.
Yeah. All right. Any questions or comments?
I just want to make a comment. I appreciate the initiative to start the conversation with the Presbyterian Church. I live right above, and I see it every school event. There is cars everywhere.
And you have a better view. Trees.
I can't wait till the trees are gone.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point, but yes.
All right, it's a good thing. We're moving right along.
And thanks to Kim Cobalt. We wrapped this up in one phone call, and 3 days later it was done. So I appreciate getting that done.
Yeah, it's a good agreement. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins? Yes. Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Attorney's file available in the clerk's office. Thank you, Assembly, for hanging in there. We're going to adjourn at 9:28 p.m.